Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about the latest resiliency research at the Minneapolis VA, hear about a local group's efforts to help homeless and struggling veterans, and visit with the Minnesota Patriot Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
We observe National Hispanic Heritage Month from September 15th through October 15th each year to celebrate the histories, cultures, and contributions of American citizens whose ancestors came from Spain, Mexico, the Caribbean, and Central and South America. September 15th is an important date because it marks the anniversary of the independence of five Latin American countries: Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. Our soldiers and airmen of Hispanic descent contribute daily to the success of our mission. Their unique cultural experiences add value to our organization and our communities. This value has inspired our organization to get involved in local Hispanic community events throughout the year across our state. The Minnesota National Guard continuously seeks the enlistment of soldiers that reflect the communities in which we serve. We strive to promote an environment that truly represents the demographics of the soldiers we lead.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Today we're going to talk about a study on trauma and resilience in the Minnesota National Guard. And we have a clinician and researcher, a PhD in clinical psychology with us that's been on the show before, Dr. Melissa Pelusny. Doctor, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Doctor, it was really enlightening a few years back when you came on and we talked about Rings 1 and then we talked about Rings 2. I'd like to review that a little bit today. But first, can you share with our listeners what kind of training do you have to go through to be a clinician and a researcher, and how long have you been at the Minneapolis VA?
Well, thank you. I started at the Minneapolis VA, completed my internship there back in 1996-97, quite a ways back, and I left for a few years and taught at Minnesota State Mankato and came back in 2000. So I've been there for the past 17 years. So,
and ma'am, I understand that you, like a lot of the doctors at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, also spend some time over at the University of Minnesota.
Right. I'm an associate professor at the University of Minnesota.
A lot of collaboration that goes on there.
There is. The Minneapolis VA really has a mission of both clinical care, but also providing training and education to the University of Minnesota, and also being a strong research foundation as well. So
there's some training for the interns, and there's training for the people who are going to nursing school, those type of things.
And
we've learned in the last 7 years that a lot of people just stay.
That's true. A lot of us do.
Which is great for our veterans and for that wonderful five-star facility we have right here in Minneapolis.
Right.
Well, ma'am, we want to talk today. I understand that you and Dr. Christopher Urbis worked together, your co-investigators in the Ring study, which was a prospective study of combat trauma and resilience in our veterans, and was a joint venture with the Minnesota National Guard.
Yes.
And Dr. Urbis couldn't join us today. He was busy. So the two of you worked together, and when we first met a few years back, you told me about the Rings 1 study where you followed some of our Minnesota National Guard soldiers on a deployment to Iraq.
That's right.
Can you tell us what that was about?
Yes. Now? So this was really a very rare collaboration. And I think that the Minnesota Army National Guard deserves a great deal of credit for being open to the study and for working so closely with us. Back in 2006, as the Red Bulls were preparing for their deployment to Iraq, we had the opportunity to travel to Camp Shelby and meet with soldiers and to gather information from them, a broad range of information about soldiers, their experiences before they deployed. We were really hoping to learn about what factors made soldiers more resilient in the face of a combat deployment, so that we might be able to target those factors and and help other soldiers be more resilient when they're faced with these kinds of stressors. So that was kind of the main aim of our study.
And we learned in that first rank study and the second one we followed up that the large majority of our soldiers that deploy and go on these deployments come back and they're fine, but there's a percentage that have some trouble. And as I recall, there was a difference in the percentage between the men and the women.
Yeah, this was a really tough deployment back in 2006. They saw quite a bit of combat, and despite that, the rates of PTSD overall were fairly low, lower than we had expected, about 7% overall. Rates were slightly higher in men than women overall, but in general. We found that there were some different predictors for PTSD in men than women.
We're speaking with Dr. Melissa Pelusny from the Minneapolis VA on Minnesota Military Radio. Mm-hmm. Now, Doctor, in that study and in a second study that you did a few years later, you not only followed the soldiers but their families.
Yes.
You learned a lot of valuable information that that the general officers, the leaders of the Minnesota National Guard, could use to help their troops in future deployments.
Yes. You know, so one of the things that we learned is that resilience and post-deployment health is complex, and there's a lot of factors that influence how soldiers do after these kinds of experiences. So the individual's sense of preparedness before they deploy, their family's level of stress during the deployment and how much support they have. The support of the community and the support that the soldier comes home to, that's important. All of these kinds of factors are important in the soldier's resilience. And so these are all factors that I think are important that we can, a command could intervene on and help to build resiliency for a soldier.
So we essentially learned that the small percentage of soldiers, men or women, that had issues likely had some problems back here at home, either financial issues or family issues or some type of distractions where perhaps they were so occupied with that they were more susceptible to the post-traumatic stress and those type of items?
So there's probably a combination of things. So combat experiences and the stressors of deployment, those are certainly important factors. But also in addition to that, the context of what's going on back home can be an important factor, as well as after deployment, the stressors that a soldier faces when they come home. If they're coming home to financial difficulties or a job loss or challenges after the deployment, those factors can be important too.
So, ma'am, I'm thinking over the past 7 years, and the Minnesota National Guard has been a leader in developing the Yellow Ribbon Program to support the families while the troops are deployed. In the second deployment that you studied under Rings 2, we had the Adjutant General on, and we learned that a large percentage of those soldiers were coming home to no jobs, and he put in place a program to send businesses over there and to write resumes, and he quickly helped all those soldiers through a collaboration with business and everybody else to get those jobs. And so I'm thinking that a lot of the things you learned in Rings 1 and Rings 2 that the leadership of the Minnesota National Guard has put in place to try to help our service members that are deployed so that they don't experience troubles.
Yeah, those things are really important. I mean, coming home to a stable environment and having resources, having a job, having something meaningful to come back to, those are all really important factors to one's mental health. And so, those for sure, we found that was an important factor in terms of resilience is having a job and having the support of your community. So those are really important things that the Guard was doing.
Doctor, you're smiling. That having done those two studies, that must give you great satisfaction knowing that you've come up with some data to support some ways to help our soldiers and their families.
Well, yes, and it's exciting to see that the work that we're doing is actually contributing to something that can be implemented by the Guard as well.
Doctor, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Dr. Melissa Pelusny about resilience in the Minnesota National Guard. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we've been talking about resilience in the Minnesota National Guard in the Rings 1 and Rings 2 study with Dr. Melissa Pelusny, who has a PhD in clinical psychology. She's a clinician as well as a researcher, and she has an academic appointment at the University of Minnesota and is our expert on resiliency in the Minnesota National Guard. You've been, Doctor, you've been studying this for a decade or so.
Yes.
Can you share with us some of the things that you've learned?
Yeah, so I think probably the biggest take-home message that we've learned over the last 10 years is that soldiers and their families are incredibly resilient. We've learned that despite, significant hardships and stressors, the vast majority of soldiers don't develop PTSD or other problems. And yet for the smaller percentage of soldiers that do, we do know that PTSD can be very distressing and can lead to a lot of difficulties and challenges. And so we want to stress that when people do develop PTSD, that they should get treatment early on. We've also learned that there's some factors, some predictors of who might be more vulnerable or less likely to develop PTSD. And so those are things that we think could be factors that could be helpful in preventing PTSD from developing for some soldiers.
So as we've said, as a result of those two studies, the development of the Yellow Ribbon programs mm-hmm. to support the families, Minnesota Military Family Foundation to take care of financial emergencies, anything we can do to alleviate some of those problems probably will have a positive effect on the deployment and the service member who's deployed.
Right. So reducing stressors in the family is one important factor. And increasing social support within the community is another. Those are two very important factors. And then there's kind of the individual vulnerability and protective factors. So there's some people that just maybe are naturally kind of just have a style about them that they're a little bit hardier, or they maybe have an optimistic style about themselves that there's something about them that they're able to face a difficult challenge and are going to be less likely to develop PTSD when faced with a really difficult situation.
Doctor, I think the positive news out of both of those studies that you've shared with us on this show in the past is contrary to what we hear from some employers in Minnesota. A lot of employers seem to think that if we've got a veteran who's deployed, we've got damaged goods. And you and I were talking about this earlier. A deployment to a war zone, a deployment to a difficult situation will change a person, but it doesn't necessarily damage a person. And you've shown in your studies that well over 90% of the people who are deployed come back and they're just fine.
Right, right. I mean, we know that being exposed to traumatic events is transformative, but it can also be transformative in a very positive way. People can grow and be challenged and go on and live very productive lives. We know that most people don't develop PTSD as a result, and I think that's such an important message because it's so easy to focus on the sensational cases of PTSD.
Where the fact is, where we send an 18 and 19-year-old off to war and they mm-hmm. do their job in a mm-hmm. difficult situation, they grow up a little bit mm-hmm. and they get so much experience that can be valuable when they mm-hmm. come home that we should look on those people as not damaged at all. But these people know how to – they're disciplined. They know how to work.
Right.
And if you can work in a difficult war zone type situation, you certainly can do a good job coming back home where nobody's shooting at you.
That's right. That's right.
Now, Doctor, I understand that you've got another project in the works.
Yes, so we're really excited about this new project. We just received an award from the National Institute of Health for a project called ARMOR. It stands for Advancing Research on Mechanisms of Resilience. And what's really exciting about this project is we'll be looking at how new recruits to the National Guard how they will be looking at resilience in new recruits and the brain processes that are involved in resilience. So when you're in a stressful, challenging situation, what are the neurobiological processes that are happening in the brain as you're exposed to a really challenging situation.
Doctor, I'm thinking about the first day at basic training. It's quite a shock.
Right, right.
I don't know. I don't remember what my brain was doing.
Right. And, you know, in the RINGS 1 study and the RINGS 2 study, we really had to rely on questionnaires and soldiers' reports of their experiences and looking at risk factors and protective factors. And that's where the state of the science was at that time. But we're fortunate that we're collaborating with a team of scientists from the University of Minnesota and at the VA who are neuroscientists, experts in this area, and we're bringing their expertise to this issue of resilience, and we'll be able to look at this in a new way.
Now, are you partnering with the Minnesota National Guard again?
We are, yes.
And so you're going to study their new recruits.
Exactly. So we're working closely with the Minnesota National Guard and hoping to be launching the study in the fall and inviting new recruits to participate in the study if they're interested and have the opportunity to take part in the study. And it would involve completing some questionnaires, but then they may also have an opportunity to participate in some tasks where they are in a brain scanner or having their EEG recordings of their brain taken.
Why am I conjuring up a vision of Dr. Frankenstein here?
Oh, not quite.
Wire them up and see what they're thinking. Now, Doctor, how long is this study going to go, and what are your expectations?
So we're funded right now for a year to pilot this process, and if things are successful, then we'll be able to continue for another 4 years. And we're really hopeful that that this study would lead us to kind of understand really at the level of the brain what's happening for soldiers that are resilient in dealing with really stressful situations like basic training.
That sounds fascinating, mm-hmm. Doctor. Mm-hmm. I hope you come up with some conclusions on how we can better prepare our recruits before we send them off to that first day of basic training.
Well, that's what we're hoping.
Now, Doctor, we've got listeners on 42 stations all over the state listening to the show, and I'm grateful that you took the time to come and see us. But for our listeners, if there's a veteran out there or a family of a veteran and their experiences, some changes, maybe a little PTSD, maybe not sleeping at night, or even maybe thinking of something as bad as suicide, the VA, we've heard over and over again that you can help.
Yes.
Can you tell me about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So part of my work, in addition to being a researcher, I spend part of my time as a clinician in the PTSD clinic. And also I'm a trainer as part of our PTSD training program. And, you know, one of the things is that the VA is really considered an expert in treating PTSD across the country. And we've put in an enormous amount of resources over the last 10 or 15 years in training therapists across the country in therapies that work for PTSD. So our therapists know how to treat PTSD. They know how to handle issues like suicide. And so if that's something that a family member is dealing with or a veteran is dealing with, they should go to the VA. Well, there's help available. We know what to do to help veterans, and they shouldn't be afraid to go. They should reach out for help.
VA's been doing this for decades, and you've studied it, and the VA studied it.
This is
you can help.
This is what we do best. This is our area of expertise.
So don't be afraid to call.
Right.
All I have to do is look up the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and go to that website, and you can find the numbers and give them a call and get in there. You know how to help them.
That's right. I hope they do.
Doctor, it's been exciting. I'm happy that you came back to visit us today. What's in your future besides this new study?
Well, I think this is going to be taking up quite a bit of time for us, and we'll be continuing to work on this project, and then we're hoping to keep finishing up a lot of the RINGS work and getting disseminating the findings from the RINGS studies.
Doctor, every time you come on, I'm fascinated by the things that you study and the results of your study. You're doing a great work, and I'm sure the leadership of the Minnesota National Guard has put it to use and is very grateful for what you're doing. So keep up the good work, Doctor.
Well, thank you.
And thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
My pleasure.
That was Dr. Melissa Pelusny from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll hear about a local group's efforts to help homeless and struggling veterans. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to hear from a local organization that's helping homeless and struggling veterans. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelletow.
Veterans in our five state veterans homes enjoy the benefits received from volunteer contributions. Our volunteers contribute significantly to the success of our operation. By sharing laughter, smiles, or just a friendly ear, they improve the quality of life and morale of our residents. Our veterans enjoy a wide variety of recreational activities, thanks to the generous donations of time and money from communities around the state. It is impossible to calculate the amount of caring and sharing these volunteers provide to residents at our home. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them how much we appreciate all that they have done. If you or someone you know would like to make a difference, please visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelletow. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We're going to meet now with an organization called Every Third Saturday, which over the past decade has served homeless and struggling veterans in the Twin Cities by providing sleeping bags, clothing, winter boots, quilts, hygiene items, etc. And to date has distributed over 50,000 items to hundreds of veterans. And the founder of this organization is Tom McKenna. Tom, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Tom, we're in trouble here again. We got a Marine in the studio, so you got to promise me to behave today.
Batten down the hatches.
All right. Oh, can you tell us about your service in the Marines?
Yes. I went into the Marine Corps in 1993. I went in as an infantryman, and I subsequently went to Security Forces School and was placed on a recapture tactics team, and we did airborne security and asset protection.
And were you deployed?
Never on a full-scale deployment. We were several times. I was in Rwanda. I was in Somalia. We were in Iraq, either on security missions, personal protective details, that kind of work.
Some short-duration missions then.
Yes. So
how long were you in the Marines?
I got out in 1986.
Well, that was, they tell me, once a Marine, always a Marine. But when you were in that long, you're never going to change, are you?
No, I'm not.
Stuck with being a Marine. That's all right, though. And Tom, I understand you served with the Disabled American Veterans as a service officer as well.
I did. Absolutely love that job. Love that work. DAV, if I could just plug it for a second, is the best service officer training program out there. And I am much better for it.
And in that position, you were advocating for veterans that had filed claims and helping them prove up their injuries that they sustained while they were as part of the military.
Correct.
And it must have helped a lot of veterans over 5 years, Tom.
Yeah, and I'm still in touch with some of them, and it was a very, very rewarding job.
And yet you left that job, and why?
Well, during my time at DAV, we were helping homeless veterans on the side, informally. And through my work at DAV, seeing a broad spectrum of veterans and families, I started to realize that there was other needs out there as well. Compensation is good. Compensation is necessary, and so is healthcare. But there's also more holistic needs out there that I felt we could go out and we can address, fill some gaps.
So you left a great position with the DAV and started an organization called Every Third Saturday. Can you tell me about that?
Sure. Every Third Saturday, we got our name, actually, from the veterans we serve. And so it's very near and dear to our heart. Back in 2010, we used to go around the cities and just hand out quilts and blankets to homeless veterans wherever we could find them, under bridges, on corners. And then we met a family called the Marriers. The Marriers run a foundation called the Hands Foundation. They're located in central Wisconsin. We met them by accident. My wife was in a Bible study, had mentioned the work we were doing, and someone else said, you have to meet these people being the Marriers. And we went out and we picked up a minivan full of quilts. During a short conversation.
And they had made these quilts?
They have a network of about seven churches. Call them the Church Ladies, and they have these sewing operations in their basement. Just if you want to have a laugh, go sit with the Church Ladies for a little while because they are funny ladies.
Imagine that conversation get interesting.
Yes, it always does.
They're doing great, loving work, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And so as we got to know the Marriers better, they started to support our work. And as it grew from quilts and blankets into clothing and hygiene items, that kind of stuff. We actually got permission from the VA Medical Center in Minneapolis to set up in the parking lot on the third Saturday of each month. And every third Saturday was born informally.
So the homeless and struggling vets kind of knew that if they were out that way on that third Saturday, they could get some goods to help them with living on the streets, essentially.
That's right.
We're speaking with Tom McKenna, who started an organization called Every Third Saturday on Minnesota Military Radio. Tom, we've had a lot of organizations on the show over the years. MACV, of course, the VA. There's a lot of organizations working toward the goal of zero veterans on the streets, but it's a moving target because as soon as you get the guys on the streets off today, there's some new ones tomorrow. Do you work with those other and coordinate with those other organizations so that you're not duplicating the tasks?
Absolutely. The last thing we wanted to do was duplicate anything that someone else is doing well. So, of course, the VA has been a great partner. They have supported us. The VA police, I have to say thank you to them. Over the years, they have just been excellent. They stop out and say hi. And Director Kelly and Ralph Usner, also very supportive. So I wanted to make sure I thank them.
So the MACV does some stand downs around the state, several of those each year, and the VA participates in that. And the VA made some buildings available for some homeless veterans. They just opened one up, I think, in the last week. Did you find a gap in the services and the goods that were available? Is that what you're doing, filling a gap?
I did. Talking to veterans, staying in contact, the grapevine's very good. And as I talked to them, some of them were coming from other places, and so they had things like beds and desks and dressers, but some did not. And so just this morning, we hooked two veterans up with the furniture they needed. We'll deliver that down there tomorrow. We are not a furniture delivery service. I want to make sure that's known. But when the need was there, and it was an urgent need, we're nimble enough, we're small enough to respond to that.
And so you're trying to work with all the other organizations, the Yellow Ribbon communities, everybody, to make sure that you work together and fill those needs.
Absolutely.
Now, I understand that you opened up a coffee shop named Rick's Place.
We did.
How did you name it, and where is it? What's the purpose?
Well, Rick's Place was named, I'll back up just a little bit, almost since the beginning. Leon and Wanda Gustafson, who are Rick's parents, have helped us in innumerable ways. Rick's mom, Wanda, is a sewing machine, literally, and just fabulous. Whatever we ask for, she comes up with. So all the while, they've been helping us. Rick has been serving as a tactical air controller in the Air Force in special operations, and he did 9 combat deployments. When he came back from the last one in May in 2014, the Air Force deemed his PTSD so severe that he would not deploy any further. And about a year later, he took his own life. And so Rick's Place is designed to bring the veterans and the community together in a safe and sober place where we honor Rick's memory. We bring awareness to the epidemic of veteran suicide, and we make some good out of it.
So you're, once again, you're working closely with the VA so you can calm those guys down, give them a little coffee, and if they have some issues, get them over there because the VA knows how to take care of them and help them.
They absolutely do, and I am a longtime patient, and I can attest to the services there being top-notch.
Very good. Tom, one last question here. Where is Rick's Place?
Rick's Place is at 4307 East 54th Street in Minneapolis, which is 2 blocks west of the VA hospital.
Pretty good location.
A pretty good location, and that was we really wanted to be close, and we wanted to be where the bus stops right on our corner, and we got them both. So
do you end up over there quite often?
At the VA?
At Rick's place.
I'm at Rick's place every day. That's
every
right.
Day. All right. Well, Tom, sounds like you're doing great work. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to visit a little more with Tom McKenna from every third Saturday on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Tom McKenna, who started an organization called Every Third Saturday, and he started that to serve veterans who are exiting a period of homelessness in a transition phase after release from incarceration, recently discharged from the military, or vets who have recently completed a VA program or could use a support system, and they have supplied the homeless and struggling vets with sleeping bags, clothing, winter boots, quilts, hygiene items, etc. And to date, they've distributed over 50,000 items to fill the gaps of those type of things that are needed by our homeless veterans. And Tom, this has got to feel pretty good to help all those homeless and struggling vets.
It does. It feels great.
Give them, if they're hanging out somewhere over by the VA hospital, give them a place to come have coffee at Rick's place.
That's right.
And if they're dealing with PTSD or struggling, maybe having suicidal thoughts, let them know that the VA hospital has people who know how to help and how to help them move past that in their life.
Absolutely. The bus goes from our place to their place. So
you can get them there safely and
absolutely
get them taken care of. And, of course, you've been at this for almost a decade, and you are cooperating and collaborating with all the other organizations in town, correct?
Yes, with MACV, the VA, of course, the VACRC, Operation 23-0, several organizations in town.
Okay, and your website is everythirdsaturday.com. I understand it's a 501c3 nonprofit.
Correct.
And what do you need to help? Are you looking for some donations? Are you looking for volunteers? How can our listeners help you?
We're looking for both. Of course, we always need financial support, but that tends to make itself – that comes on its own. What we do need is some volunteer help. We do need volunteer help at Rick's, and we do need volunteer help with our distribution events.
So if they go to everythirdsaturday.com, they can find your contact information and get a hold of you to maybe just help make and pour some coffee.
That's right.
All right. Anything there will help. Tom, I know a little bit about your background after we've talked today, but tell me, how big of a factor is faith in this whole process?
It is the number one factor. It's the driving factor behind what we do. Me and my wife, Jessie, who has, as I've suffered along the path of PTSD and that kind of stuff, she has suffered along with me, and our faith is what's kept us together. Our faith is what's kept us moving in a forward direction towards purpose. And because it's been so important, we want to make sure that that's available to veterans. My wife is working on a group for spouses. We want to make sure they're included. And so faith is absolutely vital to healing and post-traumatic growth.
So it's important to heal the physical damage from war, and it's important to get help with PTSD and suicide issues that the VA can help you with. But you also believe that the wounds to the soul that many veterans struggle with can't be healed without divine intervention, and a belief that we're all here for a purpose.
That's right.
Have you found your purpose, Tom?
I believe I have.
You're smiling about it. You must like what you're doing.
I do.
I know that you were doing some great work at the DAV as a service officer, and you must have had faith that you could survive without that salary and compensation over there and help homeless veterans. Is it working out so far?
It is working out great.
Okay. What's the future of your organization, Tom?
Right now, we are going to be upgrading Rick's to a more full-service coffee shop, and potentially expanding our space within the same building we're in now. We had a distribution event on September 16th, got 52 veterans down there, and that was a lot. That was a lot for our space, so we think that's a great indication that an expansion is appropriate.
And you continue to work with the Marrier family and the Hands Foundation?
Always. They are essential to what we do.
How could you do it all without the church ladies, Tom?
But the church ladies, and they're probably sewing away right now, sewing these beautiful quilts.
Well, winter is coming, so you'll need to get those quilts out so we can keep our veterans warm, don't we?
That's right.
All right. Any last thoughts for our listeners, Tom?
No, I just wanted to thank you, Tom, for having me on today. And we've gotten tremendous support from around town, from the DAV, from the American Legion. And so we wanted to thank them for that. And onward and upward we go.
Tom, keep up the good work. And for our listeners, if you want to help, go to everythirdsaturday.com. They could use some financial assistance and as many volunteers as they can get. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom. It was a pleasure.
Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Tim, we haven't had you in the studio for a while here. You've been out riding that motor scooter all over the state.
Oh, yeah, as much as I can. We all do.
See those posts. You've been at a lot of interesting places this summer.
Oh, yeah. We get around the state quite a bit.
What are you going to do when it becomes wintertime and you have to put that motor scooter in the shed?
Yeah, we just put on a jacket and ride or get there on our cages.
In your cage. I mean, my Jeep, like, I've been driving all year round.
Like your Jeep, like you've been driving all year round.
Okay, so the Patriot Guard riders can arrive on motor scooter, horseback, cages, cars, whatever they want to. Ooh. But summer, winter, or spring, there's missions to go to for honor, dignity, and respect for our veterans who have passed.
Yes.
How do they find out the missions, and how do they join?
Well, actually, it's fairly easy. You just have to go to mnpatriotguard.org. And over on the left side, there's a little button that says join us. You put in your email address and some information about yourself, and we'll even assign you to a ride captain or a sector, and they'll get you information on what's going on, and you show up if you can. If you can't, we just hope you can make it to the next one.
So everybody's welcome, not just a bunch of old Vietnam veterans.
Nope, everybody's welcome.
And men, women, all of them.
Men, women, all we really need is the heart and the American flag with a little 6-foot pole, so you can stand on the flag line and honor our veterans. And
now, a lot of your riders wear the vests.
We do,
and I know that you've got kind of a Patriot Guard store with some merchandise.
We do, and that's on that same page on mnpatriotguard.org on the right side. If you go down to it's just a store. You go down there and our patches and our memorabilia and all that stuff that we have is right there. And every penny that you pay for that goes towards our Minnesota veterans and our Minnesota military.
Now, you go to missions that involve honoring the veterans who have passed and first responders who have died in line of duty. By invitation only. If they want Patriot Guard to show up at the funeral, they go to the website and they invite them to come out.
Yes, yes. We never show up anywhere uninvited.
So if the family wants you, you'll put out the call and we'll see how many come, and they always show up.
They always show up.
Now, Tim, we got a little extra time today. 1 minute. What's the history? Where did the Patriot Guard come from?
Well, it all started a long time ago. There was a group of protesters who were coming out and started to protest military funerals, and a group of people, it all started in Kansas, and there was a group of Legion riders and Carol Hoyt that just decided that she didn't like that. She threw the paper down in front of her husband and said, "You ought to do something about this." So he got his buddies together, and 11 of them showed up there with the flags and kind of put themselves in between the protesters and the family so the family could bury their loved one and with dignity, honor, and respect. And it's grown from that 11 people to, 370,000 across the United States right now.
And quite a few here in Minnesota as well.
Quite a few. There's about 5,500 in Minnesota.
And everybody there is volunteer. You get a notification online or by email. And if you're available, you show up and bring your flag and yep. and a good heart, and there'll be a ride captain there that'll tell you what to do.
Yes.
Speaking of ride captains, assistant ride captains, you got plenty of those, Tim?
Well, actually, we can always use more. Those are the people that actually run the missions. You know, they work with the families. They set the stage. They make sure everybody knows where they have to go, and they take care of the people that do show up and all that. So they're a very important piece of it, and it's a very involved and heartwarming piece of it when you have, when you work with the families.
A little bit of responsibility, make sure it all comes off right.
Yep.
So you're always looking for new members, and you're always looking for people from the men and riders that will step up to be captains and assistant captains.
Yep, yep. And we'll train them. We'll teach them what they need to do, and it's actually very rewarding.
Tim, we got about a minute left, but I want to make sure our listeners know, as far as I understand it, you go on an average of about 500 missions a year. Those are funerals, departure, and welcome home ceremonies for our troops. And you go out to the veterans' homes and visit, do those things.
Yep.
You put on a big event each year called the Patriot Ride, where you raise a significant amount of money.
Yep.
And then you donate money to a lot of other organizations, such as the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
We do.
So the Minnesota Patriot Guard is doing a heck of a job, Tim.
We're trying.
So what would you say a message to all of our listeners out there if they're thinking about, or if they've ever seen the Patriot Guard at a funeral? They're all welcome to join, aren't they?
They are. We would love to have people there. You know, it's so heartwarming when the family just sees that there's other people that care about what they're going through. It's you'll walk away feeling wonderful because
feeling like you got more than you gave.
Oh yes.
And it's all about those three words, isn't it?
Honor, dignity, and respect.
Tim, it's always a pleasure when you join us in the studio, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Melissa Pelusny from the Minneapolis VA, Tom McKenna, Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Shelito, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we get an update from the Minnesota Navy League and meet the veteran behind the Mississippi Gold Star paddle. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.